Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Emma, we're back.
I can't believe it.
I know.
I'm in shock.
Any news? Anything happen over the last few weeks?
I think maybe we should start with you. I feel.
Starting with me. Ah, sure. Look, everyone knows. So Ted is here.
Yes.
So Ted arrived. Actually, Ted arrived nearly 4 weeks. It's 4 weeks tomorrow.
Wow.
Ted Johnny Cook landed down, and yes, yeah, so he's nearly 4 weeks now. It's crazy. I know everyone says, oh, you know, everyone makes the jokes about the sleepless nights, etc., but I never thought it would be as full on as it has been. And by the way, like, so thrilled with him. I'm every new parent cliche where I just think he's the most gorgeous thing ever, and he's great crack. He's getting to be great crack now. It was a bit of a one-sided relationship there for a while, but yeah. He's bringing it to the table.
Up to 90 with Emma and Julie. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, and he'll be whacking out all the smiles now as well fairly soon.
Yeah, but it's so full on. Like, I know people tell you, oh, you won't have any time, but you really don't have any time.
No.
It's all about the baby.
Yeah, I know. It's all about the baby. But you seem like you're in great form and you're doing really well and everything.
Oh, do you know what? Because I think it could have gone either way, because I was a bit nervous. I mean, obviously anyone who listens to Up to 90 will know that I was a little bit kind of trepidatious about having the baby, because, you know, you hear about, obviously, like, hormonally speaking, you're a bit vulnerable after the birth. And I was kind of, I think I was a bit scared that I might get, like, say, the baby blues after the arrival of Ted. But I think it's kind of gone the other way, in that it's kind of done something for my confidence in a weird way. That I'm like,
yeah.
Oh my God, I made this little baby and he's here, you know, which I never would have expected.
Yeah, it's a total confidence thing of like, look what I can do, and, you know.
Yeah, so I'm actually in great form, bar, and, you know, we won't go into the details, but we did have a little incident with Ted a couple of weeks ago. He ended up back in Tree General, and I'd say now the nurses were like, this one again, I mean, come on. But I think that kind of, you know, that kind of knocked me for six a little bit, because then I was just, you know, super, I suppose you're feeling all the guilt and anxiety about it all. But bar that little blip.
Yeah.
I think it's actually been great for my confidence, which is something that I think I was so prepped to be down after the birth that I wasn't expecting to feel just like so content, which is lovely.
Oh, it's brilliant. Like, you're totally, I can tell, like, by the tone of your voice and everything, you're just like, obviously you're going to have days and moments where you're just like, Jesus Christ, like, that's just normal life. Do you know what I mean? Especially when you have a little baby. But you sound very just nice and happy and taking each day as it comes. I think it's the taking each day as it comes that is kind of how, apart from obviously, you know, creating this human and, you know, the emotion and love and bond of that. But I think it's the whole, you can't but really kind of take every day as it comes. It kind of forces you to do that.
Yes.
So maybe it's that kind of mindset that is really kind of
working
for your soul.
Yeah, it could be a bit liberating for me, because you see, that's it, that you can plan. So you can say, oh, what can I be doing at 7 a.m. tomorrow, because you don't know, kind of thing. It's all, you know, it's all about him and his schedule. But yeah, no, it's just been great. I mean, as you say, though, like, you know, being real about it, of course, there are moments where you do. I mean, certainly, and I'm not alone in this, I'm sure most people listening to the podcast are the same. Like the COVID thing, when I was back in Tralee General with Ted, I think I was saying this to you, that I was on Twitter and I was on the Journal and the different kind of, you know, news forums for the couple of days.
Yeah.
And it really started to bring me down, I think, properly for the first time, the whole COVID thing. And then there was talk about going to level 5, I was kind of in a bit of a depression that evening. And, you know, I mean, I think with the whole thing at the moment, say like Ted not being able to hang out now with my dad and all that, like you really want them to meet the baby and hang out with the baby. And it's, you know, I think a lot of people are the same, that kind of overarching thing is probably quite intense for everyone. But I think what's nice about the baby is you're just kind of, as you say, Emma, you're just kind of focusing day to day on the baby, taking each day as it comes.
Yeah.
If you thought about, I mean, the whole, I do think, how are you feeling about the whole COVID thing now?
Well, yeah, like I'm not like too bad. It's funny because it really, it really reminds me of actually being where you are, having like small babies. It's kind of like, yeah, it's funny. I really reminisce. I suppose it's just because it's a lot of time. Well, like obviously you're with the baby, but it's a lot of time on your own. Now I'm quite happy like that. I mean, I love alone time. And obviously with the kids going back to school now, I'm at home. I'm my own working until, you know, 1:30 or whatever. And I go and get Tommy. But at this point, yeah, it is quite weird. Or even like, I've actually started to admit to missing gigs, because I was talking to Tom O'Mahony the other day and I was like, I'd been treating the gigs like an ex who had scorned me. I've been kind of like, what, stand up? Like, please, I don't miss them. Like, it's absolutely fine. I think it was just like a self protection thing. And then I did one there in Mullingar and I was like, I actually do miss it. But I miss it just being regular, normal gigs. But I've started to cop on to the socially distant gigs. I'm like, okay, right, this is what they are now. Like, I've done a couple of them, so I'm like, okay. But, yeah.
And are people, but with the socially distanced gigs, I presume people are wearing their masks.
I'd say it's like 50-50. Like, once they're sitting down and they're with like their partner who they went there with, some of them are wearing their masks. So obviously that's difficult because you can't read them at all. Like, even I was saying to Shane last night, I went to get Burger King yesterday, and like, how tough is my life? But I went to get Burger King, and the young fella, very nice. I was trying my best to speak clearly and whatever so he could get the order. But there's none of this rattling the order off anymore. Like, you've got to say everything step by step. And obviously, don't get me wrong, I'm going to wear my mask. That is not going to, you know, that's not an issue. I'm not out protesting in Galway there the other day.
I was going to say, okay, Gemma, Jesus.
No. The mask is fucking stitched to me, but it's pure, like, I just like laugh and it reminds me of my fucking dad. Like, when he'd have his eyesight is really bad, right? And when he wouldn't have his glasses on, for some reason, like, it would fucking affect his hearing. So you'd be like, Dad, and you're like, what? Like, Jesus, fucking turn it down a couple of dials. But I find that when the mask is on, and obviously it compromises your sense of smell, which a lot of the time is good because obviously I'm so small, everyone's at fucking armpit level for me. But I find that my hearing kind of diminishes and I can't read the person at all. And like at the start, your man in Burger King is throwing eyes at me because he's saying to me, like, you come up in the queue now. Because obviously it's not like the same as everyone just like it being like a clear queue. And I swear to God, in that split second, I was like, oh my God, that fella is throwing eyes at me. I was like, fucking still got it.
That's so funny.
I was like, oh no, no, he's telling me to like fucking come up in the queue while I rattle off like my kids' meals to get in Burger King. But
well, it is hard reading the rapid eye movement and trying to discern, is it a come on? Is he telling me to move forward in the queue? But is he asking for my tax and insurance? Like, it's just, it's everything is quite, I think I speak for everyone when I say everything's quite muffled at the moment.
It's so muffled. And even, do you know what? It's like little things that would have actually like kept me going in the day. You know, things like you're in a shop, right? And there's somebody in the queue and they start asking for some bollocks thing or whatever, or they drop their wallet and all their change goes everywhere and the person's like, oh, you're grand, and you and the other person in the queue just make a face at each other going, oh, for fuck's sake. You can't, yeah. You don't have those little funny, like, I know, okay, Emma, great fucking story, but you know what I mean? You know, when you're in those moments at the time, it does make you chuckle and you're kind of like, you know, that probably, I don't know, but it feels like a very kind of like Irish thing where people just talk to anyone or any like stranger or whatever and make eye contact with them.
Yeah, I think there's no time for an unnecessary eye contact now because our eyeballs are exhausted. They're doing all the communication.
Oh my God, fucking exhausted.
Do you know what? At the moment, I have to say, I took Ted for his first walk about town yesterday.
Oh yeah, lovely. How did that go?
Very well. It actually went well. But I do have to say, it does kind of make me nervous when, because obviously, you know, you're not going to put a little mini mask on the baby. Mm. It goes okay. But it does make me nervous when people come up to you with the baby. That's a bit of a problem, isn't it?
Yeah, obviously, especially at the moment because, you know, they are getting all up in your grill. But it can be, even in normal circumstances, it can be a bit of a weird one, it's a hard one to navigate.
Well, it's like, it's, I guess one thing that I did kind of, you know, miss out on during the pregnancy, thankfully, is this phenomenon of people coming up and touching your bump, which apparently is a thing. So at least I did miss out on that.
No one ever did that to me, but I don't think I give off the vibe.
Okay.
No, I don't think I give off the vibes of come and touch my bump. Let's be honest.
No, I think even if you were lying bleeding on the ground, I'd still be nervous about touching you. I'd be like, do you want me to apply pressure? Or how do you feel about it? And you throw me daggers beneath your mask.
I know. I just like, even the other day, I was like, oh my God. Like, apart from my core family, I was like, I am so fucking emotionally dead. I was like, what's wrong with me?
I just think you're measured would be how I describe it. Speaking of emotions, I was going to put up yesterday for Mental Health Day, just as a little joke, say something like, oh, you know, I've never suffered from mental health problems myself, but, you know, wishing everyone a happy day. And I was like, I don't know what people actually even get that I was making a joke. And the mental health thing, you just, I don't know, it's such a minefield. It's a tough one to make a joke about. And I think people would have to know my history to actually get the joke. So I was like, I'll leave it up. And then I had another one posed and I was like, but words of wisdom for International Mental Health Day. Sticks and stones will break your bones, but screenshots are forever. And Fred was like, I don't get it. And I was like, you're right.
He's not in the zone. He's not deep enough in the zone to get that.
he put up a picture, hilariously put up a picture of himself where he looks absolutely gorgeous. It's the best picture I've ever seen on him, of him. And he admitted that he put it up on Twitter purely, Maria, supposedly for International Mental Health Day, because his T-shirt is inside out in it. In the photo, and he's like, oh, even if your T-shirt's inside out, who cares? Something to that effect. But then he admitted, he was like, the only reason I threw that up, I just wanted an excuse to put it up because I've never looked that good. And I was like, that's what it's all about. You're just putting it up for the visual.
And you, but sorry now, you put up a little pic of yourself the other day as well. You're both keeping the options fairly fucking open.
Well,
coming up to week four, you're like, I just want to put some feelers out there to see where we're at with all this.
You did comment, fair play, you did cop straight away that that's my new Tinder profile picture. So you see through me, Mrs. But, I mean, yeah, so back on Tinder.
Being there.
It's going well. Back on Tinder, not looking for anything serious. And just convincing everyone that all the pictures of Ted on my profile, as I said to you, just trying to convince everyone that he's my nephew. Or even better, you know, I remember a guy on Tinder saying to me before, it's like, who's the baby? And he was like, oh, just a mate. And I was like, your mate?
You and the baby. Yeah. I was just laughing. Friend. I was just laughing there. Imagine you actually went on a fucking date, right? And it starts off all like socially distant, kind of like meeting up in a park, and then things move on very quickly, and you're in some secluded area in a car with this fella, right? And it's all getting hot and heavy. And you're like, I just had a baby 4 weeks ago. Is that okay with you?
How do you feel about kids? Okay. How do you feel about episiotomies? Because I'm still not healed. So I
could you just check that before you insert? Is that okay? Is that okay?
Would you mind having a look at it? Because I'll tell you now, I haven't had the balls. Like, I took one look at the midwife's expression and I said to myself, there's no way I'm getting a mirror down there. So
it's so funny because every time I go for a shit, I put my hand down there just in case. Anyway, should put the condom on there and we can
It feels like there's something sharp. I think a stitch might have come loose. But again, like, just to give you a heads up,
just tickle
there.
Your balls. It'll be nice. I'm told it feels nice.
Oh, do you know what? I'd say a lot of the date. I mean, surely, get in touch, listener. But I imagine a lot of the dates, it starts off with the 2 meters. And by the end of it, as you say, you're sitting in the car. And I mean, it's the only explanation for these increasing numbers.
So you're like, everyone in Northern Ireland actually has it. They're going for the total herd immunity. They're just all going to get it.
I just feel like, what the hell is going on with Northern Ireland?
It's the accent. You cannot contain that accent in a mask. It's going to get out. I don't think it's the people being irresponsible or anything like that. I think they're at a disadvantage because I think it's the accent just fucking escaping from masks. And if that accent gets on a tap or a door handle or whatever, that accent ain't going off casually. That accent is stuck to that, I'd say, for about a week. This is my door handle. I'm staying here. This is my rate.
I think, do you know what, you're right, the accent is airborne.
The accent, it's not their fault, it's the accent.
The accent is airborne, although I will say, before Northern Ireland switches off, one of my absolute best buddies, like very best buddies, who I love and adore, I won't name him because he's weirdly, social media wise, he's very into the app. Well, I was going to say weirdly, but I think it's just actually quite a normal response to social media. He's just very anonymous online, etc. So I won't expose him.
Oh, yeah, most normal fucking people are, yeah.
He doesn't need that kind of reassurance from his life. So he's not a like for likes on Instagram. He's just genuinely living his life. But he's from Belfast and he pronounces COVID. Could this be why so many of them are getting it? He pronounces COVID, COVID. And I've never corrected him. But would you dare? It's starting to get increasingly so. It's COVID. And I do think there has to be a link with these insane numbers and their pronunciation of the disease. Like, has anyone looked at that?
See, this is a problem.
Just throwing it out there.
Yeah. I mean, your man Gavin Riley, oh, he's great and whatever, but he hasn't really picked up on the fucking obvious thing that's going on here with the airborne accent, yeah, as you put it so rightly. I mean, well, you've just had a baby and you're fucking on top of it.
I'm joining the dots here. The wall planner has been turned around and I have a marker in my hand and I am underlining COVID and I am pointing to NI for Northern Ireland and nobody is listening to me. It's like Lorenzo's oil in this kitchen at the moment. There's so much ingenuity going on. And you know what I love about Gavin Riley? Actually, shout out to Gavin Riley. Sure. First of all, we need to talk about
his show. He's a fan of the show.
He's a big fan of the show, yeah, and three men listen to the podcast, yeah, and one of them is Gavin Riley, name drop. But I do love his use of emojis. You know the way he puts up like the emergency, the ambulance alarm, yeah, and for the latest numbers. That's when you know it's not going to be good, when he has the ambulance picture and then the numbers beside it. But what I love about Gavin, he was from, do you remember we lived in Rathmanoyne in Meath? And he was from that village. And he said, he got in touch one day saying something to myself and Fred. And I was like, that's gas. And then ever since, we've just been best buds. And we go for dinner and we do kind of a come dine with me thing where Gavin, yeah, cooks and then Fred cooks and I cook. So it's just really lovely.
Well, I mean, you and Fred have always been his sounding board, really.
Well, he'll always, no more than me running the tweet past Fred, he'll always run a tweet past me before he puts it up. And sometimes, I probably shouldn't admit this, but sometimes I do tell him to just shave off the numbers. Yeah. Because none of us need
just
to know.
The weekend. That. We're all trying none to have a nice, yeah, yeah.
I mean, I think, you know, none of us need to know that Nadine Coyle, everyone from Nadine Coyle to Arlene Foster has COVID, I should say, in Northern Ireland.
Come here.
Like, are they all just having, like, honestly, I just feel it must be orgy central up there because it's the only explanation. For
no, but sure, even if you take our mate, another, oh my God, but another friend of the show, Nadine, previous episodes we talked about her saying, Fleur. Like, that's her saying, Fleur. That has at least a 4 meter ability to spread, mask or no mask.
A lot of flying. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Do you know what? Because she did a cover of as well. I'm pretty sure. Again, not putting this on Nadine, but I'm pretty sure she did do a cover of Poker Face, Lady Gaga. I mean, if that isn't spraying, I mean, say it, don't spray it, Nadine.
It's all, put that on the board. It's all linking up. Come here, you know when you're just saying Gavin with his emojis?
Yes.
I don't know if you've probably heard this, obviously, but like, you know, Generation X now are telling us that we can't use the cry laughy emoji anymore.
Why?
I don't know. That's just what they're saying. But I just feel like, Jesus Christ, these little fucks. Do they realise how long it took me to be comfortable to use emojis? Now I solely communicate in emojis. I think that's why I am feeling a bit isolated at the moment, because I am communicating in emojis and obviously half my face is covered. So that's probably a reason why it's not working. But it took me, I remember people sending me messages and they'd have emojis in it. And I would just say, oh my God, the fucking hack of this. And then you just gotta get it on, like, you get to a stage where you have to be part of it because this is how everyone's communicating. But now they're saying that we can't use the laughy cry emoji. In fairness, it is a stupid emoji. Like, if somebody puts up a mildly amusing, like, tweet or video or whatever, you're hardly crying laughing. But like, and say this as it's my fucking go-to. My mom's favorite emoji is the, like, kind of you know, like the heart with the heart kind of spinning around it.
Oh, that's a nice one.
Yeah, that's her favorite emoji.
That's very trippy, actually, of her. Wow. I think that...
Well, she has been smoking a lot recently, like a lot.
Yeah, for sure. Who isn't? Yeah. I mean, come on, something has to get you through this lockdown. But I do feel with the crying face, it comes in very handy because really, really what we're saying with the crying face emoji is this is mildly amusing. That's the translation there, isn't it?
Yeah, because if I do actually, you know, to laugh out loud is a pretty big one. Like if I do actually laugh out loud, not all the time, but a lot of the time, I'll actually feel like I need to tell the person, like, no, I actually laughed out loud, like I made a laughter noise.
Yes, it's quite, I think it's quite rare for both of us to do that.
I know, yeah.
Owen Colgan put up a video the other night about chips, and I don't know what it was, but for some reason, I actually did shed a tear laughing at that one. I don't know what it was about Owen's video. I can't quite put my finger on it.
Sometimes it's just that it catches you off guard or it catches you at the right moment when you kind of,
I think so,
you're open to having a laugh. You know the way, like, you used to go down the road and you'd see the pair of runners thrown up on the electrical line and people be like, oh yeah, that's because there's a drug dealer around here or whatever.
I didn't know that, by the way, until my mother informed me of that. And now she tells me at least every second day that that's what it means. I'm like, I get it, Mom. I get it. You're down with the kids. I get it.
Well, the drug problem is fucking off the charts in Dingle, so yeah.
Well, sorry, your mom's the one smoking the wacky tobacco. What are you talking about?
It's medicinal. It's medicinal.
Yeah. Do you know what? I think I actually was thinking the other day about getting some weed and just relaxing. But I do feel, just to say again as well, for if we've any new listener, checking us out for the first time, I have mentioned before that literally I would say probably for 20 years, a good 2 decades, people have encouraged me to try the wacky tobacco to just chill me out. And if I haven't done it at an age nearly 37, it's not happening now, guys. So just leave it off. But somebody was talking today about the COVID crisis, and it did get me thinking about, do you remember the foot and mouth crisis in 2001? We would have been in, I'd say you would have been in fourth year.
I was in fourth year. And
everyone thought we could stop it with the maths, because I put up a tweet last night saying thoughts and prayers for any TY students who still think the trip to Italy is going ahead. And somebody was like, oh, that reminds me when I was in TY and there was the foot and mouth crisis. And I just remember my cousin went to England, of all places, which was particularly bad for the foot and mouth crisis. And bearing in mind it was an agricultural community, so I don't know who's thinking it was to give that trip the red green light. But I can remember them coming back. And do you remember there was all the maths that we thought we could stop this disease with the maths?
It was the maths, yeah. And then there was the big maths for the car. But it was an absolute killer in fourth year. Obviously, I have no agricultural experience and have no family members in agriculture. So I know absolutely nothing. But so it was a stinger for us city slickers, because we just wanted to go on like trips and days out in Fortier, and of course that was all squashed, so it was a fucking absolute melt. But the Fortiers are still like, they still think everything's going ahead, because Ella's school, fuck sake, I tell you what I'm getting pissed off about at the moment. Obviously COVID's well up there. But everyone, every fucking yoke of a thing telling me, well, have you downloaded the app? Like, I tried to get my fucking pill the other day, and they're like, now they're telling me that I have to order this pill. And it's like, it's my prescription. I have it behind the fucking till. And then they're like, you know, because you order it on the app. Like, this fucking pharmacy is less than a mile from my gaff, and they want me to fucking download. So I had to download this fucking app. And then the same with Ella's school. They're like, yeah, download the school app. We get a message every day, both me and Shane, because obviously we both have the app, about putting up the money for the fucking geography trip.
Come on.
70, 80 euro.
Where's the geography trip supposed to be, by the way? Where are they going?
Exactly, Julie. Every fucking day we get a notification on the app about the geography trip from the school.
I love the way you're like, let me break this down for you again. Every fucking day on the fucking app from the fucking school. I get it. But no, that wasn't a rhetorical question. I was genuinely asking where the geography trip was.
But there's no details on the geography trip. It's just called geography trip. And that's the kind of shit that will set me off. Because like somebody could steal my identity, wipe out my bank account, fucking set my gaff on fire. And I'd be like in the corner going, okay, well, like the worst thing we can do now is panic. Let's just sit down, think about this. Let's talk that's this through. But the geography trip notifications, that's the kind of shit that would set me off. I'd end up knocking up to the school on the principal's door and reefing her out of her office and smashing her face into her desk. That's the kind of stuff that sets me off.
No, I totally get it. I think when there's no details on the geography trip, I mean, I'm thinking Christmas party. Staff Christmas party is really this fun thing.
And they're like, there's been messages, like verbal messages back from teachers or something like, oh, well, don't worry. Like if the geography trip, so they say, if the geography trip doesn't happen, like if, you know, just say in a crazy world, in a COVID world, the geography trip doesn't happen. Like, don't worry. Like obviously everyone will get a full refund. And we're like, she's in fucking sixth year. She's going to be out the fucking gates in a few months. It's totally Christmas drink fund. Like,
it's definitely a staff party. And I tell you this much, we've all worked in schools. I think there, do you know what? I think there's one of these teachers in every school. I don't know if they exist anymore.
Yeah.
But there were always the teacher. I mean, I'm going to say it. It's generally the geography teacher. Let's face it, because they're the ones with these mysterious trips that when you ask the details about, they kind of like bump you off and say, oh, you wouldn't understand because you're not a geography teacher. You're like, I'm just asking where the trip is. Is it the Burren? Is it the zoo? And they're like, you wouldn't get it. It's something about rocks. And I think because generally the subject is so boring, you do switch off. So even if they did tell you, you would not actually be able to, you would not actually be able to repeat back to them what they had said. It's generally very, it's something, they start talking about, you know, rock formations, sedimentary.
They love.
Soil samples.
They fucking love that, yeah.
Soil samples. You're like, oh my God, I'm out the door. But I think there's always generally a teacher in the school who, you know, like say the trip's going to cost 20 euro. They might just say it's 25. And just give themselves a little tip. Like there's always those teachers who are, they kind of, you're going to the shop and you're like, does anyone want anything from the shop? And they just dip into like a brown envelope in their post box, which is actually what's written on the brown envelope is geography trip. And they just dip in, take a 20, and you're like, there's something so wrong about this.
Oh, I would well believe it. Like if it was 20 euro, 15, 20 euro, I'd be like, yeah, whatever. But it's the fact that it's 70 quid. Like, at the moment, you could get a weekend break in, a very nice hotel for 70 quid.
But, I mean, if you're on the COVID payment, if you're on the COVID payment, I mean, you're getting 200 quid and 70 quid of it is, so 35% of your weekly salary is for a mystery soil sample trip. Like, surely there's a YouTube.
Do you know what stories I miss? And they used to be great online. So, you know, the way, like, obviously we've had, and all these types of stories are obviously lacking at the moment anyway. But do you remember, obviously, there was loads of stories about the female teachers, like, raping their students and saying, but I love them and all that.
The guy on the Daily Mail, like, that's his one job.
But yeah. I used to love the stories. And even when it was word of mouth, they were even better. You know the way somebody in a workplace would be the person responsible for doing the lotto? And then it would turn out brilliant. That they were actually keeping all the fucking money. And that they'd done, everyone went in on Monday morning and they're like, where's Siobhan? So, I think she's probably sick. I'll give her a text. Like, oh, just no. That phone's dead and whatever. And then they find out that they've moved. They've gone. Yeah. They've up sticks. Those stories. Like, the fucking balls of that.
Well, I do think I have my suspicions about anyone in the workplace who takes on the lotto. Because you're not doing it for the good of your health. Like, let's face it.
There's certain types of people that do it. There's obviously the people that are planning a legger. And then there's people who are like the geography teacher that just like a little bit of extra cash to kind of dip into.
A 10% tip. Do you know what it is? They just like to be liquid. That's all it is. They like a bit of liquidity.
King is cash. Yeah.
Yeah. Cash is king. King is cash. It's like, bring it on. But I do genuinely, I would always have my suspicions. I would extend it to people who kind of, you know, are on the social committees in any workplace. I'm always like, what's in it for you?
Do you know why some people do it?
The lotto is a big red flag for sure.
Do you know why some of them do it though? Because, and it's obviously worrying as well, is that they can't seem to form any connection with anybody they work with. There's no common ground. They can't even say, oh my god, I'm just going to watch everything on Netflix and hopefully I'll be able to talk to somebody about some fucking program. Is that they can't find any common ground with anybody. They're like, right, I'm gonna start the lotto so people actually have to fucking speak to me.
Yeah, because even if you don't want to do the lotto, that's a conversation, isn't it? Yeah. You're in the canteen. Would you like to get involved in the lotto? No, Jim, I wouldn't.
No, okay. I always say no.
That's an interaction. Well, I mean, look, you didn't have to tell us that you always say no. Jesus.
I've started in new places and people have kind of put out the olive branch to me like this is what the gang do, and I was like, no.
Well, I mean, look, I don't think it comes as a surprise. Emma, the team player, Doran, is not up for the lotto. Well, what does annoy me is when you start somewhere new, and I'm sure everyone empathizes with this, you're there the first week and someone comes up to you and they're like, so listen, just so you know, I know you're just in the door, but Mary is retiring. Okay, she's been here for 35 years. She's such an important member of staff. You're like, what?
I know. You're like, I haven't even got paid yet. I'm getting emergency text.
I'm getting emergency taxed. We're paid monthly. I had to do a month in hand. Okay. I have to go back to my mother, Bank of Mother, once again. And P.S. she charges 10% interest. And you're asking me for money for Mary. P.S. who's Mary?
Yeah. She's the woman who took fucking longer than she needed to process all your fucking details. Remember her? She was so good.
Yeah. And now she's a job chairer, so you actually probably won't see a lot of her. What, sir? And she does the lotto. She does. Okay, no, I'm out. If she does the lotto, I'm gone.
And you know, if Mary's retiring, she's been fucking living for that. She's been winding down for at least 3 years. So by the time you meet Mary, she's fucking bitch. She's like, fucking do anything? Like, well, she's retiring in 5 years. So, sorry, I get you now. Yeah.
Well, that's it. That, like, she's definitely clocked out, hasn't she? When you started, like, Mary's calling in sick because she feels tonsillitis coming on. That's where Mary's at. Now, in saying that, I always find with retirees, as they're approaching kind of the final furlong, so maybe for the last month, you get a lot of love out of them. There's a lot of that.
And there's a lot of great stories, and they really offload you. Like, you see this place, I'll tell you what's really going on. And then you find out that the whole place is full of nepotism, obviously. And you're like, okay, well, I think I think her and Mick defo had a few rides over the years. But it passes away the time. You're just like, great. And you just keep giving them more tea. Tell me more.
I do enjoy. No, I do enjoy the retiree. I think it's that, as you say, Emma, it's that run up to retiring that I really enjoy, because they give zero fucks. So you're getting the whole story. That's what's great about it. And I can remember I taught in a school. It was one of the first schools I taught in. And the principal was new. And he was trying to do kind of a rejig. And he was like, look, the thing is, guys, you know, we have people who are in kind of management posts, and essentially they didn't really do anything. So he was saying, look, I'm going to give everyone a form if you have a management post, which, by the way, was basically everyone in the whole school. And I want you to write from 1 to 10 just how challenging you think your job is, your management post. So the lady beside me was retiring, and I'll never forget, this was her only job, Emma. Her job, wait for it, was buying the flowers. So if somebody was getting married, had a baby, retiring, she'd have to call the florist in town. This was a small town I was teaching in. So she'd have to call the florist and order the flowers. So she might need to do this maybe once every 3 to 4 weeks.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget, she circled 10. And she turned to me and said, Ginny, you don't know the half of it. You don't know. Nobody does. We'll go for a coffee one day and talk about it. Now, I knew that coffee was never happening, and she knew that coffee was never happening. But I'll never forget the balls. I admired her balls. She did not, when she handed that form back, and your man just looked at the...
Do you reckon she was human trafficked? Like, it can't all be about sex. Do you reckon she was human trafficked to be getting the flowers?
Oh, I don't know.
You don't know the half of it.
We'll go for coffee. And you know, in that real moon tour teacher, right, where they kind of tap your knee and say, we'll go for coffee, you and me, the walls of ears here, but you and me, we'll go for coffee. We'll talk about it.
I love that level of paranoia, like the walls of ears. And you're like, every time, every job, you're like, this is just a stopgap. Like, I really... Like, you know, people say, well, I'm just doing it for the money. You're like, no, I'm really just here for the money. Like, honest to God, I can't express that enough.
Like, just to say, I would step over you if you were bleeding in the street, okay? And if you were trying to make eye contact with me while you were bleeding, I'd still step over you. I'd dust myself off and I'd be taking that check.
Like, all, 6 months from now, I'm fucking blocking you on Facebook. Like, just FYI.
You know what? Honestly, that is, it's so liberating, isn't it? When you're at that stage where, like, I think it's safe to delete this person as a friend.
Fuck sake. And these people, and like, you suddenly see what their second name is, and you're like, oh, never knew.
I know. Oh, a double barrel. That's interesting.
Oh, okay. Oh, she's Protestant. Didn't know that. Okay. Oh, fuck sake. Mary and accounts. She's something else. I love them though at the same time. You always got to find the one who's got the big drama stories, because you know, if anyone sees you talking as well, you're not going to be talking. You're just going to be kind of nodding along, going, I know. Oh, my God. Jeez. And now you're halfing through the mill, because they just burn the time up for you. Because nobody, everyone's full of this shite. Well, let's just say people in real jobs, but 85% of people that have a job, they're doing absolutely fuck all. And everyone's like, up to my eyes. Nobody's doing fucking anything. It's like... Like, if I went in and did a talk, and it could happen, if I did a talk to 6 years, that's what I tell them. I said, nobody's doing anything these fucking jobs. Your parents are fucking lying to you. They're tired from the wine.
Do you know what? The best advice I ever got was from a friend of mine who said exactly that. Never work too hard, because ultimately you will not be thanked for it and you will just end up resentful.
Totally. I'd say 2 hours of my day is filling my water bottle and going to the toilet.
Of course. I mean, they can't stop you going to the toilet. They wouldn't dare. So you take maximum advantage of that. Like, it is always a bit embarrassing when you come back from the toilet and your phone drops out of your pocket and you've been in there for 15 minutes and you're kind of holding your tummy. You're not saying anything, but you're just giving the impression that something's gone very wrong.
But you know, I was so embarrassed. Do you remember, like, on the Thursday or whatever it was, it was like, we're all going home, that's the end of it. And obviously it was all kind of, you know, there was a bit of panic, there was a bit of chaos and whatever. So I just left out the door. And I forgot that in the disabled toilet, I had all my bits in there. I had my bookshelf, I had my TV, I had my futon, I had the whole, and I didn't clear any of that out.
But look, I doubt they pinned it to you. Surely not.
There was.
Surely not.
Well, there was a spare vape, so I just feel that's gonna.
I'm having a flashback to. Do you remember that story I was telling you about my mate who you know who was working in an all male environment back in like Celtic Tiger boom days? Do you remember this? She fancied the handyman and she did a poo and she didn't know and it wouldn't flush, so she put the poo in the bin and then the boss was like, actually Jim, you wouldn't mind doing the bins today, and she was like, no, and he went in and he just gave this look like, you sick bitch, because she was the only female working on the job, so he knew that turd was hers.
I mean, Christ, I've never had a poo not in a toilet. Never.
Well, I mean, I don't know if that's something we should be. You sound really proud of that fact. But
it's the small wins.
Okay, Jesus, someone's ego is out of control. Okay, we get it. I mean, I would say, oh my God, I did a poo years and years ago. Now, I was hammered. I'd gone to Italy and picked up some bottles of Prosecco for 70 cent or 80 cent each. So I didn't even know what was in this stuff. But I took a poo. This is terrible. I took a poo on O'Connell Street.
Oh my God.
I just couldn't keep it in. I was I need to poo now.
You took like a CCTV poo.
Oh, well, it was, I mean, and the main thoroughfare in the land. And sure, then I find myself saying things like, oh, O'Connell Street has really gone to shit. And I'm like, really, sorry, you took a dump on that street. You were no one to talk.
It's not an achievement on my front. It's just that the bells would not allow it.
Yeah, well, that's a big, like, I found that now when I was in hospital with Ted.
Yeah.
I found, because obviously, you know, the way it's a communal toilet. So yeah. There's the six of you there and the toilet is there. I just couldn't do it. Yeah. And I knew nobody was outside the door listening. Everyone was busy with the newborn babies, but I just could not allow myself to go for a poo. I just needed to go home.
Doesn't that say a lot about our society that even at that, you've given birth, you've been through so much, growing that baby for, you know, the guts of 10 months nearly, doing all that you can. And even after all of that, you can't have a poo in peace.
No.
Like, what does that say about our society?
It's fucked up, Emma. That's what it's saying. But it's true, though. It is completely mad.
Just, I think if people were able to poo in peace.
I'm sensing a charity song coming on here. I'm sensing Emma, a lot of other Irish comedians getting poo in peace.
But I think the world would be like,
our wish for 2020.
I think that's what we all need, is just to be able to poo in peace.
Well, you do wonder how much of these political, geopolitical problems are stemming from the fact that people just can't poo in peace. They're just a bit constipated. There's always someone outside the door.
That's the problem. If you see all these fucking lads falling asleep in the doll, they're not regular. They cannot be regular. Like, don't get me wrong, sometimes a poo can take it out of you and you do need a nap, but they're not, they're feeling sluggish, they're feeling lethargic, they're bloated, their stomach's distended.
It's definitely like that. Is it the Activia ad where she's going around with a handbag?
Throwing
and she's
all
just
her food in a handbag, yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely some handbag stomachs happening. Speaking of poos, actually, and I think we have touched on this before, I just to backtrack to co-workers.
Pardon the pun.
Pardon the pun is right. I do always have massive respect for the co-worker that chats to you while doing a poo in the loo.
Jesus.
Can we just give a shout out to that soldier as well?
I'm just like, what fucking went on in your childhood that you're easy breezy mid combo?
Well, let's face it, there were a lot of children in that household for sure. Like, you know, because somebody would have to be brushing their teeth while someone else is doing a poo, otherwise we're never getting to school. So like Mary from accounts is having the chats with you, it's all going dandy, you know, she's having a bit of a whiz, and next thing all you hear is you're like, oh Mary, it's done.
Yeah, oh, it's completely over, like.
Oh, but I do again.
You're watching her eat her lunch and you're nearly vomiting. You're just like, oh my god. She eats as well.
But then I guess aren't we part of the problem? Poor Mary can't poo in peace because we can't even look at her eating her lunch anymore.
Well, that's our brain. It's a societal, you know, it's not deep.
It's not, yeah. And you're looking at Mary with her pasta and you're like, oh, were you cooking last night? Like, it just...
That's what I'm saying. It's,
you can't look her in the eye.
Yeah, it's not going to be solved with one poo in peace. Do you know? No. It's not a quick fix.
It's definitely... Do you know what? It's going to take time.
Yeah. And it's been put on the back burner now because of all this COVID stuff, as you say.
COVID. Yeah, I know. The old COVID. I mean, the numbers are just, I can't get my head around them at all. But look, at least we'll be here, Emma, up to 90.
Yeah, we'll be here.
Once a week.
Yeah. And we're changing up the Patreon, aren't we? Like, we're back with a bag now. Oh. We're not just like popping in to say hello. Like, this is it. We're back now.
We're full on back. And you know what? I'm not just saying this, but I am so happy to be back. I really am. I think I missed our little chats, Emma.
Do you know what? I'm so happy that we're back, but I'm so, because remember you phoned me and you're like, we're having a chat and you're like, Norman, whatever. And you're like, also, you know, up to 90, whatever. Because I was just totally leaving it up to you because I'm like, you know, giving birth and having a baby and all. It's such an individual experience for a lot of people. Like, they wouldn't be feeling like anyway like a human being until they're like 6 weeks or whatever. You know, they wouldn't have washed their face for the 6 weeks. Or it just, it can be different for different people. I'm so delighted to hear you in like such good form and doing so well. You were like, oh, well, I'm ready to get back on it. And I was like, okay, brilliant.
Oh, absolutely. And you know what? I really do. I really do feel like that. I'm so happy to be back having the chats. And I mean, of course, like there's no guarantees I'm going to have washed my face when we're recording the podcast. But at the same time, no, I really am looking forward now to getting back into, because I kind of missed it. And you know, even a few people, by the way, thank you so much to everyone who messaged about Ted. We'll find out as well. I know our last Zoom party, we were doing bets on the birth weight.
Yes. So I have it written down in my little green notebook. So yeah. The winner probably knows who they are, but I'll just we'll do that in the extra episode and everything.
The extra episode, because we'll be doing the extra episode as well this week, which will be out. The extra episode will be out on Friday, I think, Ems. Is it Thursday, Friday?
Yeah, by Friday. But it'll be back up and running. And we're going to change the bits around a bit. because it's a new world now, okay? We're both...
It's a new world.
We're both moms. We're both working moms. We're just trying to do our thing. We've got a global pandemic. It's a different vibe, but it's still up to 90.
Yeah. It's still up to 90 and you're still definitely getting bang for your buck. But what we've kind of taken on board was, you know, say people getting in touch and saying what they liked, what they were into, and then things that people weren't as into. So we're kind of revamping the tiers, and we think you'll probably be happier with the tiers anyway. So we'll chat about that in the next episode.
Yeah, but it's good to be back. And
oh, we love being back.
Yeah. We're doing it. It's happening.
We're doing it. Oh, do you remember I used to love that song from Metal? Doing it well.
Loved that song. I'm going to give that a listen now, actually.
Oh, great song. Great tune. Come here, Emma. Absolute pleasure as ever.
Yes, always. And many thanks to the patrons who allowed Julie to have a small maternity leave. The rest of the people that are listening to free, what do you need? What do you want?
Nearly 3 years we've been at this now. Like, it's been a long time. A long slog. And you know what? Nice Julie is done. I have a child now. Yeah. There's no time for effing around. Come on, guys. It's just what? I mean, a fiver a month? Come on, please.
And you know what? Those people that won't get on board, they're the fucks that ring up for the takeaway and say, do you know what, I'll get the large curry sauce, even though I know
you won't eat it.
7/8 of it I'm going to fuck in the bin, but I just want the large just in case. And they're like, ooh, I couldn't possibly pay for the patron. Fuck off. I hope you never have a poo in peace ever again.
Emma!
I said it.
Well, do you know what?
And I hope I hope you have poos that you start.
Oh, no.
And then you can't finish them and you end up having to finish it off like 4 hours later. And you're going around the whole day with a half poo fucking baking in your hole.
But you know what? I'm actually really guilty of the sheep droppings these days. I'm in the loo for about half an hour and I come out and I say to Fred, I'm still not done. I don't know what's going on. But look,
you need to get the water into you.
I need more water.
You're not looking after yourself. This is the problem now. This is how it starts.
So we're wishing sheep dropping poos on everyone who was... Now, look, there are people who genuinely cannot afford to support us on Patreon, and we get that.
Do we?
The majority can. So please just get on board and make our dreams come true. We don't want to be... Look, we don't want to be listening to Mary doing a poo for the rest of our days.
No. You don't. Certainly don't.
Well, listen, absolute pleasure, Emma, as ever.
Thanks
for listening. Big love to our listeners, especially the patrons. Goes without saying. Big love, and we'll chat to you next week. Bye.
God bless.
This podcast is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.